Hi, everybody. I'm Matt Lodi, Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders, joining you here on a Thursday. And we're joined by Ryan Fowler, our good friend from Fox Sports, the fantasy football editor over at Fox Sports, and also from OhioMemories.com. Great T-shirts. Holidays are coming up. Don't forget to check them out over at OhioMemories.com. Ryan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I can't believe we're already at the quote-unquote halfway mark of the season. The Browns are browning. I don't know. I think with the foliage and everything,
yeah,
we're kind of turning. And we know when things aren't quite ripe, they turn brown. I think there's a lot of metaphors and similes and analogies to be had from that.
Yeah, no question about it. The Browns certainly, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, Carson Palmer fans might have a good weekend, or if you own Carson Palmer in your fantasy league, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on. Let's start with some of the games, though, around fantasy football. We'll start with tonight's game. It's an AFC East matchup. Boy, oh boy, the Miami Dolphins went from basically an afterthought in every way, shape, or form, firing head coach Joe Philbin. They bring in tight end coach Dan Campbell. All of a sudden, they look like world beaters. Ryan Tannehill looks like Drew Brees in his prime, and Lamar Miller looks like Emmitt Smith, and Jarvis Landry looks like Jerry Rice. And the Miami Dolphins in New England tonight, a place where they've lost 12 of their last 14 to the Patriots. Big game tonight. What do you look back on this matchup, and who do you play in this one tonight? Obviously, you got to play the guys like Brady and Gronk without saying, but what do you do with guys like Miller, Landry, Tannehill, and anybody else on New England that you're targeting?
Yeah, we'll start with Miami. I think it's going to be tough to go into Foxborough short week. They're running so much adrenaline off of the blowout of the Texans last weekend. I still think Lamar Miller is going to kind of do what a lot of people expected heading out of the draft, and not what he did the first 3 weeks. They changed what they were doing with Lamar Miller year over year. What he was doing at the end of last year was getting 15-plus touches. To start the season, he was getting 10 to 12, but it was just not the same. Now they're feeding him in different ways, not only just handing the ball off, but getting him involved in the passing game. That's a huge benefit for Lamar Miller owners, and I think really that's the Lamar Miller we're going to see. Does he regress this week? Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. I think he's reached his ceiling. I think it's safe to say, but I think he's going to be a solid RB2 the rest of the way. Jarvis Landry, I think the amount of targets he's getting week in and week out warrants the start. I think you look at New England, they give up yardage, so you don't have to be too nervous about Jarvis Landry. Plus, if you expect the Patriots to put up points, you got to keep pace, and that's where Rashard Matthews and Jarvis Landry kind of come into the picture. On New England, I am interested to see what they do with Amendola this week, because Brandon LaFell had a huge case of the dropsies in his first game back, coming back from injury, and Amendola has been heavily involved in the passing game the last 2 weeks. Julian Edelman is going to go out there and do what Julian Edelman does, which is eat up a lot of targets, but maybe not find the end zone, and that's where maybe Amendola can squeeze in there and hit double-digit fantasy points again. I really think I look for Tom Brady to really load up again with a big passing game. They didn't rush much against the Jets because of the Jets' rush defense, so we'll see a mix of Deion Lewis, who it looks like will be back, even though he's coming back from injury, and then LeGarrette Blount. I think a lot of points are going to be scored tonight, though.
Well, that's good news for fantasy owners, of course. Again, I know with myself, Tom Brady is a must-start tonight. I think there's no question about it. You got to start this guy every week, even though last week kind of struggled early against the Jets. They were down in the fourth quarter of that game, and he still ended up with 335 and a couple of touchdowns, including the late one to Rob Gronkowski. Another game on the slate, and maybe not a game that a lot of people are targeting from a good football game, but a game that's got a lot of fantasy players, the Chargers and the Ravens. Of course, AFC North, the Ravens are terrible. They're 1-6, but that doesn't matter. It's all about numbers. It's all about points. The Chargers, Phillip Rivers last week, a big egg against the Raiders. I think as a whole, that team laid a big egg. The Ravens, a lot of people are jumping on them to win this game, but what do you look back from what do you look at, Ryan, from the fantasy point of view on this one?
Well, Baltimore's defense isn't what it used to be, and anybody that thinks that is going to be sorely misinformed when they go into the game, because Phillip Rivers has averaged around 60 pass attempts the last couple weeks, and the Ravens' pass defense is the worst in fantasy points allowed to the Chargers. So Phillip Rivers, now he might not have Antonio Gates, but it really doesn't matter. You can get Stevie Johnson in there. You can get Keenan Allen, Danny Woodhead in the passing game, but Darius Green, they just kind of fill the gaps when somebody goes down there. Malcolm Floyd the same. And I really think Phillip Rivers is going to have a monster passing game. I think they kind of pump the brakes breaks on the rushing attack. Woodhead do the damage through the air in the receiving game. Melvin Gordon's in the doghouse right now after fumbling a few weeks ago. He didn't get any touches until the third quarter last week. So look for Phillip Rivers to do quite well. On the flip side, the Chargers' rush defense is not good. Latavius Murray had a monster game last week for the Raiders, and I think Justin Forsett is in for a monster week. This might be his best game of the season, I think is safe to say, because the Chargers' rush defense, you can do some work against that. And Steve Smith, he's going to get 15 targets again. Steve Smith's going to get 15 targets anytime he's out on the field, and then maybe Kamar Aiken falls in the end zone. But Steve Smith is the next best guy, and it's really just Forsett and Steve Smith that I'm happy to say should start for the Ravens week in and week out, because outside of that, it's really slim pickings in Baltimore.
Let's talk about one of the primetime games. It's actually the Monday night game, but it's going to have a lot of players in it, I think, from both sides. That is being Indianapolis at Carolina. What do you make of Andrew Luck? I just think that he is having – I think he's not healthy, personally. I think that's part of it. But I think it's just that team really overextended itself in free agency. They went out and got a bunch of skill players when they should have got offensive linemen. And they're struggling. Yep. They're 3-4. They just lost a terrible game at home to the Saints a week ago. And the Panthers are riding high at 6-0, but this is your proverbial trap game, if you will, against an AFC South team that they don't see very often. What do you make of this game on Monday night?
Yeah, I mean, trap game's a good word for it, but I mean, if I look at what the Panthers have done in the recent weeks, and you look at that secondary of the Panthers and Norman, one of these guys where you look at Seattle and you know Richard Sherman and you know these brand names, Darrell Revis, Revis Island, look at Norman down in Carolina. I mean, he's going to lock down whoever he shadows, and Andrew Luck's going to have a tough game for himself with the offensive line woes that have been well mentioned throughout this season. I think Frank Gore's going to have a rough game. I think you're going to have to pick one on Carolina to slow down. T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief, Dorsett got hurt last week, and then one of the tight ends they rotate in. But I think Andrew Luck's just gonna fall below that 20 fantasy point threshold that you look at for quarterbacks. The great quarterbacks in fantasy football hover around 30, maybe a little bit over 30. But the average ones, the ones where you go out there and you feel like, okay, this is the safest play, they get you 20 or more. And I don't know if Andrew Luck can get that with the offensive line. I mean, they're gonna face a pass rush. You look at what Kuechly did. You look at what Jared Allen did last week against the Eagles. And I think that the Eagles' offensive line is a lot better than the Colts, and they still had trouble slowing these guys down. So I'm really fading away from a lot of the Colts this week. It's going to be a tough matchup, and no chance. I would not be shocked if Carolina came out of this 7-0 and they keep on rolling down there with an offense that's more old school. A lot of rushing and not much passing outside of Greg Olsen here and there.
Again, we're talking with Ryan Follow, the fantasy editor from Fox Sports, getting your lineups ready for Week 8 of fantasy football. Ryan, let's hit the two AFC North games involving, of course, the Browns here in Cleveland as they take on Arizona. But let's start with that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game. All the eyes are on Ben Roethlisberger coming back for the Steelers after missing 4 weeks. Historically, not a great comeback quarterback that first week. What do you look back on this game, and what do you do if you've got Roethlisberger, or maybe you've got a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick or somebody else sitting on your bench? Do you just automatically go back to Ben, or do you take a week and see how he does?
That's really weird. It felt like you were looking at my roster that I'm dealing with. I have Roethlisberger, and I have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Wow,
so that's kind of weirding me out right now with that matchup against the Raiders, because I have Roethlisberger in there right now, but I could see myself before Sunday plugging in Fitzpatrick. I think that there's reason to believe that. You know, Roethlisberger comes back in. He made comments this week where he's not projecting anything. He's taking it day by day, all the good cliches that athletes know, and then he also mentioned that his knee was aching a week ago.
Yep.
So we know that even if he comes back, maybe he's at 90%, but he's not big bad at 100, and maybe once that pressure gets on him, and we know he's not the most mobile guy, but it takes a lot to take him down, he's going to be really favoring that knee and very cautiously protecting it when the pressure comes in. So maybe in other instances, he would roll out or move left or right. Maybe he'll just collapse because he wants to protect that knee. I would be very cautious on that, because Le'Veon Bell can do enough damage, and they can hit some quick slants to Antonio Brown and let him do the rest of the work. I think Roethlisberger comes back and hovers around 18 to 20 fantasy points, because let's not poo-poo the Bengals' defense. In fantasy terms, not a lot of points, but in NFL terms, they've been quite solid this year, and they've been getting a pretty good pass rush.
And again, let's talk about the Browns and Cardinals here in Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. As I said in our open, big day for the Cardinals' offense, or do you think the Browns' defense is going to rise up? Weather's supposed to be pretty good, and that's something you always have to look at when a West Coast team comes east. It's not supposed to be, as far as rain or wind or cold, it's not supposed to be too bad on Sunday. So what do? You just load up on the Cardinals, especially the run game, the Browns last in the NFL, giving up a buck 50 on the ground every week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Browns, there is some popular opinion that they do play better at home, and I think that's true. But you look at what the Cardinals have. I mean, they have weapon after weapon. And when you look at that backfield and you see what Todd Gurley did to him last week, if Chris Johnson slows down, they throw in Andre Ellington. If Andre Ellington can't do it, they'll throw in David Johnson. And I look for David Johnson inside the five. I really think in standard scoring leagues, touchdown-only leagues, you could flex out David Johnson this week because he might finish some drives. They're saying that John Brown, this guy that's just emerging as a stud in that offense, might not play. He's been fighting through a hamstring the last 2 weeks, and the Cardinals are on a bye next week, so they're thinking they might get 2 weeks of rest out of him. And all that happens then is Larry Fitzgerald is then followed by Michael Floyd, the product out of Notre Dame, who's had a nice 2-3-game stretch since he's been inserted back in the lineup. And then to fill in Michael Floyd's shoes is a guy named Jerron Brown. So they just kind of just fill and replace. The offensive line plays good. I think it's going to be a lot of damage done by Carson Palmer outside of the chance that the Browns, they do get Hayden back this week. But there's just so many ways that the Cardinals can beat you in that defense and those cornerbacks for them with Honey Badger and the like. I just don't see it clicking this week, especially after a really disappointing effort in St. Louis last week.
Again, Ryan Fowler, the editor from Fox Sports, talking a little fantasy football, getting your lineups ready for Week 8. All right, Ryan, before we let you go, just a couple of players out there that you're looking at, maybe in the waiver wire or maybe some sleeper starts. Anybody out there that we should keep an eye on this week?
Yeah, I mean, I look out west, and I go back to Oakland, and they do have that tough matchup with the Jets, but I'm looking rest of the season. And look at Michael Crabtree. He is getting plenty of targets. And now that the Amari Cooper stock watch is at an all-time high based off of his efforts last week, look for Michael Crabtree to see plenty of targets the rest of the way. I really think that there isn't a balance in that offense, and I still think the Raiders' defense really let their offense down last week, allowing the Chargers back in that game. So keep an eye on Crabtree, available in a bunch of leagues. And then another one, if Antonio Gates is to miss a lot of time with this knee injury that he's dealing with, or at least 3-4 games, look at Stevie Johnson. When Gates was out at the beginning of the season due to suspension, Stevie Johnson had some solid games weeks 1 and 2. And in PPR leagues, you're going to get a lot of action there with Phillip Rivers chuckling all around the yard and with that nice matchup against the Ravens.
All right, Ryan, thank you so much. Again, it's Week 8 of Fantasy Football. Ryan Fowler, our good friend from Fox Sports, the fantasy editor. Ryan, on Twitter at?
At Fox Sports Fowler.
There you go. And again, OhioMemories.com as well. Hey, check out our Facebook page coming up this week. We're going to give away a special T-shirt for that Browns-Bengals game on Thursday night. Ryan, thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.